And welcome to Cheers from the Press Box. I'm your host, Headphone Joe, and I'm here with my co-host, as always.
What's up, everybody? Brennan Tassif coming to you from New York City.
Live from New York City, under the city lights, under the street lights. Just left Yankee Stadium up in the Bronx. Still wearing
his
Yankee
tee. Best part
about
going to a Yankees game is leaving the Bronx.
Oh, what are we doing there? Good people in the Bronx. I got nobody in the Bronx, so I don't know. All my people are in Queens, funny enough. Queens and Long Island. The one black part of Long Island. Oh, no, Staten Island's the racist part. The racist part about New York.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, Long Island is too.
Well, yeah, true. Long Island is rich racist. Staten Island is like...
poor racist.
Yeah. I was going to say scummy racist. There we go. Trash racist. Old-fashioned racist, let's just say.
No, I would say Long Island is more old-fashioned.
Really? Yeah, I feel like it's more money-whipping.
Well, it's just a kind of a weird thing because Staten Island is like Jacksonville racist, where it's like, you're all broke. Like, what are we doing? Whereas Long Island, it's more like, oh, those people over there.
Okay. So it's more like a Virginia racist.
Yes, very much okay. Virginia, Staten Island's South Carolina. Like a,
Staten Island's like a Florida, like a, Georgia.
Like a Mississippi.
Like a
Georgia,
Mississippi, yeah. Alabama type of
poor state in the Union, Mississippi.
Yeah, still to this day. All right, we talked about racism. Let's get to sports. We got a couple big things to talk about. A week has passed in the NBA. College basketball has been on a heater, even though the ratings have been... Actually, I think I was going to say the ratings were low, but I think the ratings were up for the first time in 32 years, which is interesting because for me, it's been down after the first weekend, pretty much. Yeah. Then we got some quick hits.
All chalk all the time.
Dog, it was crazy. I'll get to it. We got quick hits. We got NHL. We got MLB. We got some sad Fulham news. So without further ado.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
Brennan.
Yes.
Do you know what time it is?
Yeah, I think I have it right here. It's time for fight of the week.
I was going to say fight night. Yeah, so we had a bit of a skirmish in a game earlier today.
Breaking news.
This is a today game.
This game's not even over by the time we started recording.
I know. But five players, two coaches ejected. Piston Wolves. Somehow the Pistons always end up in one of these situations. But one of their
there's been two like real ones in the entire length of the NBA, and the Pistons were involved in both.
Yeah, there's more than two real ones, but this is not the greatest representation of them. But so JB Bickerstaff, Isaiah Stewart, who often finds himself in the middle of some oddities, Ron Holland II, and Marcus Sizer for the Pistons, and Naz Reid and Dante DiVincenzo, along with Pablo Prigioni, who's now an assistant for the Wolves, all were tossed from this game. Brent, I don't know if you saw, but it had been chippy for a while.
Yeah.
And when I say a while, I mean the first quarter, because the skirmish happened in the second quarter. These are not teams that face each other often. It's an East versus West matchup. So it's not like there's been this over-exhausted bad blood between the two, you would think. Brent, what is your outlook on this? Do you think this is good for the game? You know, a lot of people have been saying, oh, the hockey is so great because they can fight, and we know why basketball players can't fight anymore. And now we got to fight a good old-fashioned, you know, rough and tumble.
Yeah, so it was interesting to me because of what happened. So I watched this from all the different angles and things like that. Basically, Naz Reid was going up and got fouled. And then DiVincenzo.
Looked pretty innocuous.
Yeah, DiVincenzo took umbrage with that. And then DiVincenzo gets pushed. And it was so funny. The announcer goes, that's the last time he's been getting pushed all game. That's the last time he's going to get pushed. But yeah,
I'm watching it again. Sorry,
he
Naz
whacked
Reid
his
did.
Finger in his face.
He did a little instigation, And that's what caused the other player to engage.
Yeah.
Dante's trying to
comes out of nowhere.
Play mediator a little bit. Homeboy gives him a push, and then Dante asserts himself.
Yeah, and pushes him into the stands. That's the problem, is I think you already alluded to it or said it outright, but you can't go into the stands with this. But Dante pushes him into the stands and then pushes him back, and then he kind of gets pushed into the stands. And then there's players and coaches trying to separate, and then they just started
bodies on top of bodies.
Yeah, and then they just started ejecting people. It was very interesting though, because this obviously gives flashbacks to the Malice in the Palace. But that one was the one where Ron Artest was like, "All right, y'all want to play around? I'll come in there." But in this, it was quite the opposite. The fans were all putting their hands up and backing up and "Hey, we're not a
They've
part
learned
of this
their
kind
lesson.
Of a thing." Yeah. Bill Burr has a great bit about it where he's like, "You really want a professional athlete to come into the stands?" He looks like
last thing I'd want.
Looks like Thanos out there, just whoosh, whoosh.
Look like a Greek god, just
yeah. So it was. I don't know. The Pistons are on a bit of a heater this season. We've talked about it several times. So then to lose by pretty much they lost by 19, I think it was the final score, just came across the wire. It was, it's kind of embarrassing because one of those things where it's the Timberwolves are trying to assert themselves as we're not going to get pushed around. And the Pistons have that culture of we're the Detroit Pistons. You play our tempo, you play our way kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this was just kind of the Timberwolves are on a backslide this season. The Pistons are up and coming, but it's you don't start fights. That's not how you get respect or recognition in the NBA.
I don't know, man. I think if every team is not created in the same mold. Every team shouldn't be created in the same mold. If you try to just copy somebody, you're copying somebody who probably does something better than you. So you want to pivot. You want to zig where other people are zagging. Case in point, over my shoulder right now, the Philadelphia Eagles flag. The league has become extremely pass happy. What did the Eagles do? They bolstered their offensive line. They went and got a solid running back who had a phenomenal season, and they just ran down everybody's throat. And now everybody's thinking of, how do we get our Saquon, or how do we build our offensive line? How do we da-da-da-da-da? So the Pistons have built their culture on a more rough and tumble attitude, and Isaiah Stewart is kind of the spearhead of that. He famously had the incident a couple years ago where he's trying to shake free of everybody holding him back because he had got a little gash or a cut on his eye after an inadvertent elbow from LeBron, and he's trying to hunt down LeBron, and everybody's holding him back and everything. So,
and then he kept run. He was as soon as he got free, would run across the court.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every time they calmed him down, he was like a jailbreak.
Gotcha.
But so they have a little bit of that ruggedness to them, and it reflects the city. It's a no nonsense city that it's not going to take any guff. And this year has got them to some success. I mean, they had just come off a win against the Cavs. Now the thing is. Similar to a Draymond Green situation, when do you take it too far? Knowing where the line is, towing the line, understanding the boundaries. In this game, like I said, it all through the first quarter, there had been a lot of chippiness, and I think that just boiled over until Naz Reid had enough, wagged his finger, and that's your inciting incident. Everybody loses their brain cells and goes crazy.
Well, I was just going to say real quick, let's not forget, the Pistons didn't start this between what you're saying with Naz Reid wagging the finger, and then DiVincenzo gets in the middle of it, and if you're going to get in the middle of it, you're going to get pushed.
They didn't start this part of it, but earlier they had been, I was about to say, over the course of the first quarter, because this happened 8 minutes into the second, 4 minutes into the second. Throughout the first quarter, there was a lot of chippiness coming from Detroit as well. So basically getting under the skin of these guys, and
Naz Reid.
Yeah, I would say it made them come out of character. But the Timberwolves did not lose any of their key players. And they were able to go on and win the game still. So, wrong team to pick this fight with, obviously, following the loss, and definitely a suspension or two coming down. But I don't know. I think Detroit needs to keep that chip on their shoulder. They need to keep that feistiness. They're battling for seeding in the Eastern Conference. They're sitting at five right now. They're above Milwaukee, who I think we didn't. It got announced like right after we recorded last week, but Damian Lillard out indefinitely, deep vein thrombosis, blood clot in his, I believe it's in his leg, in his calf. So, you know, hopefully he can come back, but they've been on a backslide. How did I mess up the first part of the word and then the second part of the word in two different instances?
This is the second they've time been, he's done black for back.
Crazy. They've been on a backslide since that injury diagnosis came down. So the Pistons are in position to potentially even overtake the Pacers at the four seed. So
crazy.
And the Pistons, man, I mean, they had one of the worst three records last season. They've made a complete turnaround, bringing in some veteran guys. So
this is a historic turnaround as far as the NBA is concerned. I don't think any team has finished in the top three of the lottery and then gone on to like have a top seed in the playoffs or something to that effect is what I heard.
No, that sounds plausible. But yeah, so you don't want to lose that game because you're losing some ground with the Pacers. But I mean, all in all, their secret sauce has been working for them. So yeah, I don't think they should lose that edge. They should control that edge.
Yeah.
But you know, if it's not broke, you know, don't gotta fix it. All right, Brenner, we got some other news here.
Yes.
What day did this drop? I think I had just gotten to Jacksonville to pick up my brother when this news dropped, or were we already in Broward? This news dropped on the 28th, which was
2 days ago.
So that was Friday. Yeah, I had just gotten to Jacksonville. Yeah, because I got to Jacksonville at 1. So at 12:38, news came across the wire. It started hitting my group chats a little while after that. Taylor Jenkins, the coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, who had been there for six seasons and is their winningest coach, was fired late into the season. Obviously, we're about a week away, 2 weeks away from playoff time. We're about 10 games or so left in the season. He was let go from the team. He had three playoff appearances. I believe they missed the playoffs last year, mainly because Ja had missed most of the season. But the organization had basically given up on him. They're right now a top five seed in the Western Conference. But some of the criticism I've seen lobbied at them was this dates even back to Dylan Brooks was there. So two seasons ago now. Just a mismanaging of the player personnel. Dylan Brooks wasn't a great shooter. There were many games, late in games, in postseasons where Dylan Brooks was shooting them out of games. And people were like, hey, if the coach is good enough, you coach him to say, that ain't your shot. You hit him with the Patrick Ewing. Have you practiced that shot? Is that the shot you take? Yeah. So, but different rotational aspects, different in-game scenarios, not drafting. They drafted Zach Edey, but him and Ja Morant haven't been in the pick and roll as much, and you think that would be a pick and roll like dream scenario. So what are your thoughts, you know, tactical aside, more so timing and how this relates to a team down the stretch?
Well, this is bizarre to me because like when the Pistons fire Monty, it was a situation where it was the same kind of thing where it was like, okay, well, he's not playing the players that we think he should be playing. And like everyone on their different podcasts and different sports shows were talking about, yeah, you know, and then we see it this season, you know, he's out and all of a sudden the rotations look a little different. Now they're winning. But
no, that also reminds me of, sorry, Mark Jackson.
Yes. Yeah.
All of a sudden,
Well, they barely missed the playoffs, or they just made the playoffs and got
bounced. No, they were like a six seed, couldn't get past the first round.
Yeah.
And
then he gets fired, and all of a sudden it's like, this.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we should start Draymond Green. You know, he probably defensively unlocks our team in a way. And it's like, oh, wow. Yeah, we should shoot more threes, not less threes. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
We should shoot all threes. But it's weird to me because of what we're talking about. Like, Perkins has been there for 6 years. And other than last year,
Jenkins.
Jenkins, I'm sorry. I don't know why I said Perkins.
Kendrick on your mind.
But it was very, it was interesting to me, the timing of it, like you said, because 2 years ago, this team was like a top team in the West. This team was on fire. And then John Moran has all the stuff that John Moran has, and he's out for the year, and you're like, all right, they'll bounce back. And they're not bad this year. They're 44 and 30. But it is a, it is fascinating to be like, oh, we're gearing up for the playoffs. Here we go. By the way, we're getting a new head coach. I think they could very easily rebound, and no pun intended, and you know, make a big push into the playoffs. But also, this could mess up a lot of stuff for the team, just as far as routine and chemistry. Athletes are creatures of habit, and this could really knock them out of their I mean, they're habits. Not playing super well, but this could definitely knock them out of the habits and their day-to-day routine, and this could have a very negative effect. But it could also, I mean, different sport, but we see it in the NFL all the time, the new coach bump, where you fire a head coach halfway through the season. I think those teams like win like 70% of those. It's like a high number the next week. So we'll see. I just think the timing was super bizarre.
I think the difference there, though, is like the NFL is such a week-to-week sport, whereas the NBA and basketball is more of a day-to-day sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my thing is, why do this so late in the game? Whatever, you know, issues you had did not arise last week. This has been, I mean, from what I, like I mentioned, Dylan Brooks, that's two seasons ago.
Yeah.
So if you could have seen, if you had this on your mind, if this was a potential course of action that ownership and management wanted to take, why not take care of this around All-Star break, when you have more time for the team to gel and adjust? Doing this late in the game, you're in the playoff push. You're trying to get a better seed than fifth right now. You started the season at like two earlier until the Nuggets and the Lakers really started kicking it into gear. And that's, you know, nothing to be upset with. Houston, obviously having an improved season. Ime Udoka, we're not shocked by that. He's a pretty fantastic coach, as we've all figured out at this point. So it's like the teams above you, it's not like you're doing anything necessarily wrong. And if you do assess that something is wrong, make that assessment quicker so everybody will be clicking at the right time later in the season, instead of doing this again a week and a half before the postseason begins.
Yeah, and to that point, it, like if you, like you said, this was talked about with Dylan Brooks two seasons ago. If you thought about this, then going into a new season, Jaw's back. Jaw looks like everything's clear skies. He's going to be playing. Why not do it before the season? Like, get a new coach. Jaw's coming back in. Like, here we go. But to, like you said, it's less than 2 weeks before the season's over, and now we're like, hey, by the way, we're going to do this now.
Whole new system.
Whole new system. And so, depending on the coach that they bring in, it could be, I mean, they probably will just elevate an assistant.
Yeah, they're elevating an assistant
for a while, but.
But it's like, I mean.
The timing to this is just bizarre. Unless they know something we don't, they're trying to get out in front of it.
That's what I'm trying to think. I don't want to go to all the speculations, but it's just, you would think you'd get on this sooner than later. Like, this is not something you let fester, you know?
Yeah.
Just odd to me. Oh wow, this is the third time a coach has been fired mid-season after winning at least 40 games. You had Larry Brown was fired in 82-83. He was 47-29. Taylor Jenkins, 44-23. And then Don Nelson with the Mavs was 42-22. That was in 05. The Mavs do not go on to win the championship that year or make the finals that year. By my knowledge, the Nets have never won a championship. So right now we're 0-2 when this happens, you know, as far as, you know, winning it all. So we'll see if the Grizz have a different formula. But before we get to that formula, Brennan, we previewed last week, Jimmy Butler's return to Miami. Big news.
Just real quick, I don't mean to interrupt, but I just looked this up. if the Houston Rockets, if Memphis can finish five or better and the Houston Rockets hold where they're at, this will be, this has only happened two other times in NBA history, with the San Antonio Spurs 96 into 98 and the Orlando Magic 91 into 93, where teams with a top five draft pick the year before have had a top five seed in the playoffs the next year. So it's only happened two other times in NBA history. And
it might happen three times.
Twice this season.
Three times. Don't forget the Pistons.
Oh, yeah, the Pistons. Yeah. So it might happen three times this NBA season. That's insane.
That's crazy. But yeah, no. So we talked about Jimmy Butler returning to Miami to play the face-off with the Miami Heat. We talked about the potentiality of Stephen Curry playing or not playing. Because he had been dealing with a, what was it, a lower back injury, a back injury of some sort.
Knee. Wasn't it the knee?
Was it the knee? I thought it was a back injury.
I'm looking it up.
Now I'm on the case. Hold on.
We're both looking it up. That makes for great podcasting. Hang on. We're both going to look something up at the same time.
Well, he landed a three-book deal. A three-book deal with the first one due out in September. That is funny. You're right. He has since returned, and he avoided bigger injury, missed two games. Pelvic. Okay. Pelvic contusion. Closer to the back. I mean, come on.
It is closer to the back. You are right.
Come on. Actually, it's kind of equal distance from the back to the knee. I mean, but, I mean, pelvic contusion. Right there.
Ask his wife what's going on. Ew.
Hey, yo. But, yeah, so... Jimmy Butler faced off against the Warriors. Faced off against the Heat. And the Warriors lost 112-86. Brandon, it was a bloodbath. Jimmy Butler only put up 11 points. He was 5-12 shooting, 0-2 from three. No Steph Curry led way to Jonathan Kuminga being the lead scorer in only 25 minutes off the bench with 15 points. He was 4-10, 1-3 from three, 6-9 from the free throw line. Draymond Green gave you a whopping 2 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 3 turnovers. I know we all believe that, and we all know that the Warriors aren't, you know, the greatest without Steph, but they did beat, without Steph and with Jimmy, they did manage to beat the Bucks with Damian Lillard still there. But Bam Adebayo had 27 points, 8 boards. Kyle Ware, I think is how you say it. 14-10. I really like that kid. He's not going to get Rookie of the Year, but he's had a really good rookie season. Tyler Hero had 20 points. This is, you know, this was the Heat's championship game. The Heat are not a good team. Prior to this and the win in Charlotte the night before, they were on an 11-game losing streak post the Jimmy Butler trade. They are 31-41, which is the exact inverse of the Warriors at that time when this game played. Brendan, do you think Jimmy wished he had a better game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of impressed with how the Heat fans handled it. He did get an ovation when he got there, which is something that we discussed. But it's just this team.
He also
team,
got a tribute video.
Yes, he did. This team, as it's comprised, does not work without Steph. And we knew that. We knew that going into this. We knew this after the trade when they were all healthy and they were playing out of their minds. I definitely sat on the show and was like, yeah, but if one of them is out, it's just not going to work. So I'm not surprised that they lost. I am surprised they lost in such a resounding fashion.
Yeah.
Because some of those stats that you pointed out was
no dog in the fight is the more shocking thing. Like the thing everybody's been trying to convince us and, you know, everybody in general is Draymond and Jimmy, two pit bulls, you know, no one's going to be able to hold them back. They're going to be attack dogs, and they just cowered and whimpered away in this game. Like,
it was a shocking result.
It was a stunning result. Like, Jimmy Butler, the Jimmy coming radiator back to Miami. Coming back to a place where he feels he's been scorned. and everything, with all the quotes that he was giving prior to the game and everything, like, you would have thought he would have came out and put up 40 shots, and we just didn't get that type of performance from him. He kind of, he conceded performance-wise in a way where he just deferred, and he wasn't the fulcrum of the attack that we thought he was going to be. Especially if I tell you a year ago, well, let's go 2 years ago, you know, coming off of Jimmy's great playoff, three playoff runs, really. And I say, he's now left the Miami Heat. I don't even tell you what team he's on. And I say, and today he's returning to Miami. You think he's going out with Pat Riley's head on a stick at the end of this game? Like, he is going there and wrecking havoc. And that's not the performance we got. It's not the performance we got.
At all.
Speaking of some of the performances we have gotten, are getting, Brendan, right now the Houston Rockets are up 78-49 on the Phoenix Sun at the half. Since we last talked to you guys, the Phoenix Sun have gone on to lose two more games. We talked about how they won a couple of, you know, fluffers. Within that included, though, that win over the Cavs that did give a lot of hope there. But they lost to the Celtics, and then they lost to the Timberwolves. And now they're getting demolished by the Houston Rockets. And they see themselves currently on the outside of the play-in. So it's time for our favorite conversation. Who are the two that are going to make it into the bottom? Dallas Mavericks have seen a couple wins go into the win column. Anthony Davis has made a return, coming back to help them in the last two games against the Magic. I don't remember if he played against the Bulls, but they beat the Bulls. Did he play in that game?
This is a very interesting dynamic because I'm going to jump the gun a little bit here, but I honestly think it's going to play out just the way that it's seated now. I think the Sacramento Kings are going to be the make the playoffs. The only thing is with the Dallas Mavericks, it'll be a cool story if they make it to the play-in after Kyrie goes down and they trade Luka. But with Kyrie out, you're not
really going to make a dent. No.
Yeah, I don't think they have the horses. So, but I think the Phoenix Suns, the only thing I see changing, Portland's out. I think the only thing that could change is the Phoenix Suns overtake Sacramento for the 10th spot, but they're just so discombobulated, as we've discussed ad nauseum on this show.
Yeah. The whole Phoenix thing has just been just shocking. You think you get Kevin Durant, you're guaranteed at least a playoff spot for the duration that he's on your team. There's never a time where he is not in the playoffs, unless he's hurt. And they make the big move to go get Bradley Beal. And the thing I kept alluding to, the thing that, you know, I always felt was the issue is, and we say this with many players, with many pairings, but the adage doesn't hold up for every pairing. I said this with LeBron and AD, like, you know, how many balls do we have? You say this with Steph, and, you know, when Jimmy gets there, it's like, okay, they have two different
games. Kawhi and Harden.
Those compliment each other. Kawhi and Harden, Kyrie, Luka. But the difference with all of those other ones, examples we listed, it's not that those guys don't share the ball. They haven't needed to share the ball. Maybe not. But they all have the ability. Steph can be a point guard. Mm-hmm. We don't want him to be a point guard. It's not his best usage, but he can be a point guard. He can set up others. He can make plays for others. Kyrie is one of the best people with the ball in his hand. Guard. Same with Luka. Same with James Harden. Kawhi is kept. When he does have the ball, he does make great decisions. We just don't see him out there enough, and we don't see him in position where he needs to be that playmaker. But if asked to be a playmaker, he can be that playmaker. Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, those are bucket getters. That is what they do.
There's only one bucket.
That
one
is
ball.
The only thing they do. So now you're trying to distribute how many buckets can I get and how many buckets do I have to defer And that's going to look clunky, messy, and that's going to leave you under 500 as they are now.
Yeah, I don't think. I think if they make it in the play-in, I don't think they make the playoffs.
I don't think they make the playoffs. I would say the best construction of a team is, you know, a sun, a secondary scorer, and then three guys that are willing to go out there and give it everything they got, whether that is playing defense, whether that is rebounding, whether that is loose balls, whether that is backdoor cuts, you know, for lobs or whatnot. Like, having three guys out there that have the same objective, it's not going to work. It's going to lead to bad spacing. They don't shoot enough threes. That was one of my big issues the whole time. I was like, this is a great two-point shooting team, but that's not going to help you outside of the postseason, because in the postseason, yes, you need to get those hard shots. During the regular season, you need to be trying to play the easiest basketball you can to rack up wins. You cannot be playing playoff basketball for 82 games. It won't work.
As we see.
So, yeah, Budenholzer, bad. Also, I didn't like that hire to begin with, honestly.
Yeah, you talked about that on here.
But, yeah, so that is what the bottom of the West looks like. Brennan.
Yes. Who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down?
Who's up, who's down? Brennan. I have bad news for me, at least. The Florida Gators are in. Very annoyed. I hate the Florida Gators. Long-standing beef, long-standing dislike. Should have lost to Utah. Should have lost to Texas Tech. But nonetheless, they are in. They will face off against Auburn. Auburn, who beat Creighton, beat Alabama State, beat Creighton, beat Michigan, and beat Michigan State to forge their path to the Final Four. Where is the Final Four, mind you? Check that out. I don't know where the game is.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
On the other side, Duke has made it to the Final Four. Duke beat Mount St. Mary. They beat Baylor. They beat Arizona by putting up a hundo on them. Then they beat Alabama. Alabama, who was just coming off a game where
San Antonio, Texas.
Alabama, who was coming off a game where they scored 113 with 21 threes in that game, beating BYU. They put up 50 threes. Brennan, fun stat, if Alabama didn't shoot any twos, just their free throws and threes, they still win that game by 5 points.
That is an astonishing stat.
That's crazy. Again, BYU put up 88 points. but Duke beat them by 20, 85-65, limiting that offensive output. And then lastly, you have Houston, who got here by beating Southern Illinois, University of Evanston. Did we ever look that up to see if I was right, by the way? I don't know. No. They beat Gonzaga. They beat Purdue by 2. And then they clobbered Tennessee today by 19 in order to get into the Final Four. Folks, we have all the one seeds here. All the one seeds have made it to the Final Four. Auburn, Florida, Duke, and Houston. I was alluding to it earlier, Brennan. I looked at the Elite Eight, and I looked at my brother. I was like, wait. I stopped paying attention after week one. You're telling me we have 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-3 in the Elite Eight. Holy smokes. It was insane. St. John's losing to Arkansas was really the biggest upset there was, but that just paved the way for Texas Tech.
NIL, baby.
So I don't think that's NIL. I think that's just
the distribution. I think it's the NIL going out and poaching these players from these smaller mid-majors. We talked about this last week.
How many mid-major people do Duke have? Duke has just like three number one picks, first-round picks. Like Auburn, Bruce Pearl, maybe there's a couple NIL guys. Florida, I know, has the one guy, one of the guys from that FAU team. Houston, I think it's just a bunch of older dudes, like just a bunch of guys up to Houston. I think we all keep wanting to. There's a media narrative archetype that wants to just blame everything on you just want to pinpoint a problem and say, this is the problem. And sometimes the problem is cream
the
rises.
The seeds are good. That's why.
I'm about to say the cream rises, guys. Auburn was good all year. They lost a couple games toward the end of the year, all to good teams in the SEC. Florida was pretty dang great all year. Duke had been pretty great all year, and Houston had been pretty great all year. Sometimes just the pretty great teams just keep winning.
Yep.
When you're putting up bad teams, you know. On the women's bracket, we
have. Drop the sounder again.
You want me to wait till I get the bracket
go
up?
Ahead.
I got to get the bracket up. Then I got to bump this back up to 70 so that I can hit
it. I got you.
All right. And on the women's bracket, we had actually a similar Elite Eight. We had a 1-2 in South Carolina versus Duke. We had a 1-2 in Texas versus TCU. We have a 1-2 in USC versus UConn. And then we have a 1-3 with UCLA facing off against LSU. Now, we have two of these results in hand. Two of the games will take place tomorrow. South Carolina beat Duke. So Dawn Staley and her girls were able to beat Duke by 4 points, a nail biter over Kara Lawson's team over there in Durham. I don't remember where they're playing. Why don't they put the things on? Anyways, UCLA was able to hold off LSU, beating them 72-65. So we have 2-1 seeds currently locked in. Texas and TCU face off tomorrow. Haley Van Lith has been carrying this TCU team all across the regional. TCU beat Fairleigh Dickinson. They beat Louisville. They beat Notre Dame. And now they're facing off against Texas, who beat William & Mary, Illinois, and Tennessee to get to this position. USC find themselves here after beating UNC Greensboro, Mississippi State. But unfortunately, in that Mississippi State game is where Juju Watkins got hurt early on. But her team rallied in order to finish that out. They won that game huge in her honor. Then they faced off against Kansas State, and now they face UConn, who beat Arkansas State, South Dakota State, and Oklahoma, with Paige Beckers putting up 40 points in that game, which was pretty dang fantastic, after dropping like 30-something in her last game in stores in the South Dakota State game. So 1-2 USC face off tomorrow, and 1-2 Texas and TCU face off tomorrow. And the winner of those go on to face the winner of the USC UConn game faces UCLA, and the winner of the Texas TCU game goes on to play South Carolina. Brennan,
South Carolina's to win, baby.
It is. But you stepped away for a brief second. You had to tend to something. The exact same mapping happened for the women's. You had 3-1 versus 2 and 1-1 versus 3. So I just thought that was crazy. In both brackets, they literally mirrored each other. It was
insane. And we love, you actually made a really good point. We love these Cinderella stories because it's like, the underdog came out of nowhere. There's a reason these teams are ranked where they're ranked. And a lot of times take it from me as an FAU fan, when we went to the Final Four a couple years ago, a lot of times these Cinderella stories are on last second buzzer beater shots. And that's just how basketball works sometimes. It's not like they're beating these teams, but then you throw out a stat if they would have missed all their or if they wouldn't have shot any twos, they still Alabama still wins that game. It's that makes sense.
Yeah. So, but alrighty, that is it for the tournament wrap up. I'm doing terrible in both my men's and women's bracket. Doing better in my women's bracket than my men's bracket. There are a couple of upsets I was looking for that just didn't happen, and everybody else apparently went chalk, unbeknownst to me. Even though I thought, we're anti-chalk at all times, but everybody just went chalk. So, that kind of thing.
Also hard because I don't do brackets anymore, but I have done brackets in the past. And it is hard when you're looking at a 1 against a 12. You're I don't want the 1 to win, but I'm going to pick the 1.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was like, come on, man. No, UConn is not rolling over to Florida. UConn's going to win that game. And, man, truth be told, UConn was fighting with those boys tooth and nail And then late in the game, Florida just executed a little better. They finally started making some of their free throws, and they beat UConn. I thought that was the biggest upset that was going to happen in the tournament, but it did not. Dan Hurley couldn't get it done. But we move on. Sorry, I hit it twice.
You'd be surprised how quick.
Quick name it hits.
Quick hit.
Ah, quick hits. We're going to get to it real quick. Gretzky. Gretzky is rolling over in his announcer's chair. I know he's on like the TNT broadcast. He's spinning in his broadcast chair as Ovi is 5 goals away from eclipsing his goal record. Is it 5 from eclipsing or 5 to
5 from tying?
Okay. Figured. Leon Draisaitl is the first goal scorer to 50 this year. He's a really good goal scorer. You know, he did the same thing last year. I don't know if he was first, but I know he hit that mark last year. The Panthers lost to the Canadiens yesterday, 4-2. That was unfortunate to see. I believe we're still at the top of the Cadillac. What's happening here? We are not at the top of the Cat-Atlantic. Actually, we're third in the Cat-Atlantic, one behind the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are second. We share the same points, though, 91-91. But you guys, I'm assuming, have a tiebreaker on us at the moment. The Maple Leafs are top with 92 points. All dead close there in the Cat-Atlantic. Well, not the Cat-Atlantic right now, the Maple-Atlantic. Then in the Metropolitan, we got the Caps, who are on a heater. On a slide. I was just looking at the points when I said the Heater, but they're on a 3-game losing streak. Oh, whoa, it's shocking. But they're still at top of the Metropolitan by a wide margin. That's why I thought they were on a heater, at least. They're above the Carolina Hurricane and the New Jersey Devils. Kyle, unfortunately, is a Flyer fan and not a New Jersey Devil fan.
Unfortunately.
Ottawa Senators are top of the wild card, as well as the Montreal Canadiens. They currently have a tiebreaker over the New York Rangers. Columbus is not too far behind. Columbus, I believe, also fired Tortorella. The Flyers. I think the Flyers had Tortorella. Did the Flyers have Torts? And they just fired him finally? Yeah. The Flyers fired Tortorella. It's not the United States of Tortorella. That's old Stephen A. funny clip. In the Western Conference, the Winnipeg Jets are now your points leader with 106. They're on a 3-game winning streak. Right behind them, though, is Dallas Stars, who are on a 5-game winning streak with 100 points. And the Colorado Avalanche find their way out of the wild card positioning. They are third with 93 in the Central. In the Pacific, you have the Vegas Golden Knights with 98 points. The Kings with 89 and the Edmonton Oilers with 89. The Minnesota Wild and the Blues follow along in the wild card with a wide margin of 6 points ahead of the next team. That is the Vancouver Canucks. All right. In the MLB, don't got a lot of MLB to get to. First weekend, opening day was Thursday. Pretty fun to watch. The Yankees dropped 20 points, batted in 20 runs. The other day, that was pretty fantastic. Dropped another 12 today.
Yeah,
going crazy.
Aaron Judge, first at bat, home run, baby.
That's insane. But what I really wanted to focus on was, don't know the last time I've said this, but my Miami Marlins are first in the NL East.
3 games in.
I will say I was at 4 games in. I will say I was out of commission. For some of the weekend, I wasn't paying attention to everything. I did see that we won on. I watched some of the game on Thursday, saw that we won. But I didn't see any results from Friday to today. I got home today and I opened up the app and I was like, let's see what the Marlins did, you know? About time to punt on the season. And they won 3 out of 4 against the Pittsburgh Pirates, man. That's pretty great.
Take that, Anderson.
Yeah, that was crazy to see. Phillies are 2-1. Mets are 1-2. All that money that was spent there, not giving them anything in return so far. The Braves, winless. 0-4.
That's crazy.
0-4. The Dodgers, 5-0.
since I was at a game today in the Bronx.
Give your assessment.
It was very weird to see the fact that because of the new MLB rules with the pitching staffs and stuff, by the eighth inning, I turned, because they're up 12-3. And so going into the eighth, I turned to Tracy and I go, hey, because we're there. She got tickets to the Department of Education. It was like a big fun thing for teachers. And so there's a bunch of, there's like seven of us there. And I turned to her and I go, hey, can we leave? And she was like, no, we're like, there's, it's cold out. There's no sun. I was like, can we just get out of here? And she was like, well, no, let's wait till the end of the inning. And then they bring in the first baseman to pitch from the Brewers. And
I was just saying, did they bring in a position player?
Yeah, and it was like a cluster. They're on the scoreboard, like they show you the speed and all that kind of stuff, and they just keep putting the pitch as a slider, as a slider at 64 miles an hour. And I, so finally, he goes through like two batters, and some of them are popping out because you know they're just swinging at it. And so finally, I turned around. I go, this guy plays first base. They're up by nine. We're leaving.
Well, Brandon, you can't just wait for the end of the game. What were you in a rush for?
It was so cold.
Oh, man. Well, you've been there too long. Get used to it.
Everyone else had the same idea because I thought I was trying to beat some of the subway traffic, and we did not. But it was very odd to see because they went through so many pitchers in the game before because it was 20 runs.
Yeah.
So it was just nuts to be like, oh, I'm actually witnessing a first baseman try to pitch the ball.
I mean, it wasn't in history, baby. That might be his first pitch in the big leagues.
It was very interesting.
Like I said, the Dodgers 5-0. The Padres are the culprit of the Braves 0-4. So the Padres are 4-0, and already a game and a half behind the Dodgers. I tell you, the Dodgers. You gotta hate them if you're a Padres fan.
You got to.
And the Cardinals are 3-0 in the AL. Anything of note? Texas Rangers 3-1. DeGrom had a good opening, had a good start for them. I don't think he was the opening day starter. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Wait, DeGrom wasn't the opening day starter?
Nah, man. I mean, I don't think so. I wouldn't assume.
Yeah, I guess
so.
He's getting older now too.
I would say he's older. This is a different team for him. I'd assume he wasn't the opening day starter. Let me check. I might be wrong. Let's see. Nope. Nathan Eovaldi, who might be older than DeGrom.
Yeah, but Eovaldi's good.
Eovaldi's 35. So how old is DeGrom at this point? I don't think DeGrom's that old. I mean, you know what? Let me not say he's not that old. He might be pretty old. We'll see. Hold on.
DeGrom is 37.
Lock it in. DeGrom is 37?
Lock it in. Check it.
36.
Ooh.
You know where he's from, right?
Florida.
DeLand, Florida.
Yep.
How do you say it?
It's DeLand.
I would say DeLand.
Yeah, that's how you're supposed to say it.
I always say it DeLand.
Who says, you say DeLand?
Yeah. I'm not from that area. I moved up there. I was like, okay, nobody's going to tell me
maybe
how to say it.
My dad worked out there, so he was always like, yeah, I work in DeLand. So maybe that's just how I say it.
We also hated them because they were our rivals at FPC, so.
Yeah.
We didn't give a fuck about how we said their name.
Yeah, they were your rivals. I forgot about that.
Bulldog. That was the in-school game. You remember that?
Yeah.
I know you didn't go to FPC, but did you guys have an in-school game? Who were your rivals?
Our rivals are Atlantic High School. The Sharks. Because they built Atlantic because Spruce Creek
overflow
was getting too big.
Yeah. I was saying, did you guys have an in-school basketball game with them?
No, I'm sorry. I was thinking of something else. I thought you were talking about like an in city rivalry kind of a thing.
Basketball game? We're cross town. So we would for the basketball team, because they were our rival, it was like the game where they wanted like to max out the attendance. So you would leave. So for us, if it's a home game, everybody would get out of class early, go into the gym, and then we'd play the game at like 2 o'clock, and school ends at 3, let's just say. So we'd play, the game would start with everybody still in the arena, and then JV would play after varsity in this scenario. So when we started playing, like everybody's going to their buses and shit. But so then when we would play the away game, we would leave school at like 12, get on the bus and head there to play at their stadium at 2 p.m. in the game, and their school ends at 3. So
it was a pretty fun event. At the game.
Yeah, so everybody would be at the game. That's how I learned. Did you watch Everybody Hate Chris?
No.
Did you watch Phineas and Ferb? No, you didn't.
No.
Okay. I was going to say the kid that was Chris's white friend from Everybody Hates Chris and Phineas from Phineas and Ferb, that actor actually went to D-Lane.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was a student at the
time.
Full
circle.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
All right. They're playing varsity, putting up shots.
I was not playing varsity. I never played varsity, unfortunately. I saw the writing on the wall, and I was like, 6 foot small forward. Well, they're not going to let me play small forward. 6 foot power forward, just setting screens and shit. Nah, I'm cool, man. not going to let me fire this up.
Put up my own shots.
Not going to let me fire this up. All right. Your decision. Yeah, I probably should have lost some weight. That's on me. But you can't play
power forward small. Come on.
I didn't have a nutritionist. You know, I didn't have a nutritionist. If I would have lost, like, I was 220 in high school, if I would have lost 30 pounds, got down to 190, I would have played point guard. They wanted me to be a point guard so bad because I saw the floor better than most. But, and then I could have been a taller point guard at that point because we had a bunch of, like,
5'9 guys.
Yeah, 5'9, 5'8.
Yeah, guys. We had a bunch of white 5'9 guys playing point guard and, like, so, yeah. Playing one and two. And then we had this one guy, Walker, who played, our center, even though he was only like 6'4", but we called him Skywalker because he would dunk in every game.
So yeah, if I was 6'2", 200, they would have let me play point. So, but I didn't have a nutritionist.
Alas.
I didn't know calorie deficiency.
Hey, if I would have grown up anywhere other than Florida, I'd be playing baseball in the MLB right now. So
I mean, that's it. If I would have had a father, somebody would have put a bat in my hand or a soccer ball on my foot, I would have lost that weight instantly.
I was talking soccer about it today at the game.
I would have been like, fucking Pujols if I played baseball, but I would have been fat as shit. I'd have been like Prince Fielder. Goddamn.
I'm looking at some of these players and I'm like, come on, you can't compare these athletes, quote unquote, with like ball players. Like, what are we doing, man?
I would have been Prince Fielder quick as hell. Like,
Mark Teixeira. When I saw a picture of Mark Teixeira, I was like,
eat and swing?
That's me.
Come on. Come on.
6'1", 220. God. All right. Time for everyone's favorite part of the show, the reason why everybody listens. Fulham Corner. What do we got, Joe?
Oh, we got some sad news. Fulham faced off against Crystal Palace in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. We were crushing shit for like 25 minutes, man. We looked so damn good. We looked so much better than them. Clinical on the attack. Just couldn't get anything in the goal. Had a couple opportunities that didn't break our way. And then the first opportunity they got with about 35 minutes into the game. Eazy-E is how you spell his name. Fucking whipped in just like the perfect goal.
Wait, first shot on goal? First goal?
I don't think it was their first shot on goal, but the first shot Easy had on goal. Easy is like their best player right now.
Okay.
The first shot he put on goal, just out past the outstretched arm of Bert Leno and hit the crossbar back into the net. And then 3 minutes after that, they got another one. And that's when I turned the game off because I had to get ready for the funeral anyways. And then while I was at the funeral, I wasn't paying attention to the game anymore. They got a third goal. And so it was a 3-0 defeat in the quarters. Fulham lost to Crystal Palace. Very upsetting, unfortunate. But, you know, still a lot of to be played for this season. This was a great cup run. A lot of fun results, a lot of fun games in there. But we still have, you know, the possibility of making – yeah, European position to play in next year. So not all is lost on the season. Obviously, you know, one of the funny things to think about right now is obviously we're not in contention for regulation. I mean, you know.
Yeah, not even close.
A little lemonade, you know. I mean, that's something we haven't had to even think about all season. So, but Wanted a little more. Wanted to get a little greedy. Nothing wrong with getting a little greedy. So, but yeah. with the result.
How many games do we have left?
I think about eight. I think you had nailed it, like eight or nine, yeah. If I'm not mistaken. So, you know what I do want to do right now, actually, and you probably will be better at this because I'm trying to get everything ready for the end of the show. Where is Wrexham?
I can pull it up right now.
I have not looked at them in a little bit. Spoiler alert ahead of time for the people who watch the TV show and Welcome to Wrexham and don't want to know where they are. They want to still be, you know, surprised. Spoiler
two
alert.
Right now.
Oh, man, I was going to spoil it. You did it way too close. Sorry. Way too close. They're two. How many games left do they have?
Pulling it up now.
They're in the one now? Yeah, they're in the one now.
If they play May 3rd, 46, so they still have 7 games left.
Yeah. 7 games left. They're three clear of the team behind them, but they do have one more game played than them. So that makes for interesting down the stretch finish for Wrexham, who is a team that we root for here after the TV show Welcome to Wrexham. All right, it is time for.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
All right, Brennan, where can we find you?
At Brennan T Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. Get your tickets for the Bro Jason tour. I'll be touring, featuring for one of my best friends in the whole wide world, Matt Fulcheron. We are going to, by the time you hear this, I'll be in Boston April 17th, Connecticut 18th and 19th. Charlotte just added on the 27th, and then a bunch of dates in May in Florida. Oh, and check out my other podcast, Your Ex-Drinking Buddy. I have a guest on to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. If Wrexham ends up getting promoted, they will be in the Championship League, which is crazy to think that they weren't even in English soccer. They were in the National League.
That was such a random aside. Was that for me or was that for...
I'm looking at it and that's why.
I was like, what just happened there? You're finishing off your plug and I was like, whoa.
They weren't even in English Premier League play.
They were in the Nationals. They weren't in the top five. And they're going to be in the number two if they hold on. But, you know, the inverse of that, Brandon, I just looked over... at the championship to see who would be who's in relegation contention. And I don't know if you remember this name from last season, but Luton Town is currently on a slide. They had made it up to the English Premier League last year, were relegated, and now they're in contention to be relegated again to League One. So that is a fall from grace there. That is a fall from grace. All right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Dorville. You can find me on Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. Don't forget to check out this show's Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Cheering Press. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Anew Low Network. That is Anew Low. And Who Does a Podcast? This week, we are covering, next episode, we are covering A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan movie starring our boy Timothy Chalamet. Brennan, you should finally watch the movie. It's on Hulu now. Okay. Hulu, if you have it, you can check it out, send in a comment, you can text it to me, put it on Discord, whatever, we'll read it on the show. It's a movie. Almost said some things there, gotta play close to the vest. It's a movie you should check out. How about that? That's enough of a cosign from your boy here. Outside of that, you can check out my merch at Etsy.com. nope, Headphone Joe, no, oh no, you in the phone, .etsy.com. And you can check out my music under the moniker Headphone Joe, no, oh no, Ian, the phone on all digital streaming platforms. Brennan, it's a nice Sunday night. Let's get out of here.
Yep. And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out, Chris Farley. Just had an interview with his brother. What a guy. What a guy, Chris Farley.
Huge shout out, Gary Innocent. Love you, brother.